couple of weeks ago, we invited Asaph to come and share with us his testimony. I think all of us will remember he would have shared when we were looking at one of the Psalms, how God had been so wonderful in times of need, in times of difficulties. Today we want to invite King David, the writer of this particular psalm. You know, it's been said that David is the one who wrote Psalm 112, and to share with us some wisdom, to help us understand how do we live in a world where there's so much of things that's drawing us away from loving God and serving God. And so we will spend some time looking at this particular psalm and to draw some lessons from this particular psalm. Let's pray and ask God to help us. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we can gather together. We thank you for the opportunity, O God, to recognize that every goodness comes from you. Thank you for the life that is given to us. Thank you for sustaining our lives, O God. Thank you for giving us the needed strength to face our every days, O God. And Father, we pray that even right now, we want to learn from this great man, O God, a man who was after God's own heart. We want to learn about how to live a life of wisdom, that each and every one of us will experience your goodness, as David has said, O God, in Psalm 23, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In your name we pray. Amen. You know, Psalm 112 is a very interesting psalm for us to look at. You know, David would always invite us, if you look, invite him and say, he will say, you know, let me thank God for all the things that God has done in my life. And he will say, you know, when I look at my life, I've been so blessed. I'm so grateful for all the things. And he will say why and how, what has taken place in his life that he is able to experience God's goodness, God's blessings each and every moment in his life. And I would always encourage you, if you're looking at Psalm 112, read together with Psalm 111, because Psalm 111 and Psalm 112, you know, it goes parallel, because Psalm 111 talks about God's character. It talks about who God is. And then in Psalm 112, you see that the writer of this particular psalm is trying to mirror God's character. He sees God's character the way God reveals himself and the way God manifests himself in the world and what is expected from God, and he begins to live a life. In Psalm 112, you tend to see that. And so it's a beautiful psalm. It speaks about living the blessed life. I think many of us, all of us, including myself, we want to have a blessed life, right? We want to live a life, you know, full of joy, full of satisfaction, full of contentment. We want to be blessed not only in our career, even in our health we want to be blessed. In our homes we want to see God's blessing. In our friendship we want to see God's blessing. We want to see God's blessing. None of us here would say, you know, I want to start a day of sadness, a day of mourning. Like, we want to be blessed in everything that we do. That's human desire, and God knows our hearts very much. And so Psalm 112, you know, the first lesson that we begin to hear is the blessings of godly living, right? And so he starts by saying, you know, if you and I want to receive God's blessing, you know, these first two verses, he speaks about how you and I can receive God's blessing. You know, the Greek text is very important. Sorry, the Hebrew text is very interesting. You know, if you read Psalm 112, verse 1, it says, praise the Lord. But in the Hebrew text, it's the word hallelujah. That's the title of the particular psalm. It's hallelujah. Praise God. I praise God, who God is. I can't be silent. I praise for the goodness of God in my life. And that's what the psalmist is saying. So who does God bless? Yes, the entire world receives God's blessing. That's God's goodness that has been revealed. That's always said as God's common grace that is experienced by all of us. But here we see the special grace of God. And he says, Who is blessed? He says, blessed are those who fear the Lord, who find great delight in His commands. Since there are so many things, you know, I just want to, you know, move as fast as possible. You know, here he uses the word fear. Now, every time when we hear the word fear, we are terrorized. We are caught in fear that nothing, something strange is happening, and so I'm caught in fear. But the way fear used in the Hebrew text is very interesting, right? It says it's not about terrorized, but it's out of reverence. I have reverence for God when I come into the presence of God, when I look at God, and when I read about God, when I think about God, there's always reverence in me. That's what David is trying to say. And secondly, when you look at the word fear, it's a very interesting word to him in the Hebrew text. It means to advance. I have so much of reverence for God, so much of love for God, that I walk straight. That's the meaning of the Hebrew text. I advance, I walk straight, I follow the track, I follow the path of God in my life. That's fear, my friend. Fear is not just doing my daily ritual, because I have to give, because if not, God will take away my blessings away from me. If I don't attend church, maybe I might not receive God's blessing. That's a different kind of fear. But here David talks about a fear that I want to walk in the path of God. I want to just follow Him wherever He goes. I want to advance. I want to walk straight in the path of God. That's the kind of fear he's talking about. A fear that is built out of love for reverence. He recognizes God's goodness in his life. And secondly, you look at the word, you know, he uses the word delight, who find great delight. It's an interesting word that he's also using here, right? It's a life of obedience. That's what he's trying to say. You know, not only I just read God's word, not only I just dig into God's word, I delight to see the secret of what God has revealed and to live a life according to God's plan and purposes. That's what David is trying to say. So he says to receive God's blessings, to have a contented life, to have a satisfied life in a troubled world like this, he said, we need to be just having reverence for God, having love for God, walking in the path of God. Psalm 111 also talks about it, right? He sees God's, I think Paul talks about it very vividly in his writing, right? Imitate me, he says, because I imitate Christ. He talks about having the image of God, the mind of God in us. And so, you want to be blessed? I want to be blessed. We need to be walking the way God wants us to walk. His path, His way, His plans, His desires, His dreams becomes ours, becomes mine. I'm always delighted. In other words, there is a total devotion. I don't read my Bible just for the sake of reading. I read because I want to do what God has revealed in His Word. It's not another, you know, sleeping pill for me before I go to bed. But it's something that actually drives me to live for God. And that's what he says. And so he says, you know, when you have that, what happens? I think the blessings comes to you and your family. In this particular verse, you know, when you look at the first, immediately the first impression, you might say, you know, does it promote health and wealth theology or prosperity theology? Like you see, the children will be mighty in the land, the generation of the upright will be blessed, wealth and riches are in their houses, and their righteousness endures forever. You know, when you look at Scripture, there are moments you will see that God has blessed people with a lot of riches. For example, Abraham was a very rich man. He was so rich that he was much more richer than many of the kings in those days. But if you look at God's Word very carefully, He doesn't speak about His riches. He talks about His God. He talks about His love and His faithfulness to God. But there were people in the Bible, right? Job, whose riches was taken away. And finally, God multiplied and gave him much more. There were people who did not have anything. And so here, God gives blessings. I'm not saying that God doesn't bless us. But the way I look at this particular text, I think it is much more than our wealth. Much more than the things that we have or acquire in life. These verses speak much more. Because when I was looking at the text very carefully, one of the reasons is it's related to the old covenant. And so we are living in the new covenant age now. And so when it applies to us, yes, God blesses us. I'm not saying God blesses, doesn't bless. The Lord doesn't say having money is bad, but having the love for money, right, becomes a bad thing. God has blessed. I've seen and I've heard testimonies of how God has blessed. At the same time, I've also heard testimonies where God has not blessed them with riches, but much joy, happiness in their life. And so when I look at this particular passage, it is much more. Can you imagine much more greater than wealth when God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing? That's what the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1. He says that God has given me every spiritual blessing in my life. Remember the words of Paul in Philippians. He said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Right? For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. In other words, that is the best gift. In other words, you see God's blessings upon this family. Right? It'll be wonderful to have the blessing, not only just riches, my friend, but the blessing to be with the Lord. Like last Sunday, as I was praying, for that particular family, they told me the mother is a believer. She believes the Lord. And so the son was telling me, I lost my dad was 40 when my dad was 47 years old, but my mom was there. Working hard. We didn't have much riches, but God has blessed her. I think that's the richness. They are wealthy with the goodness of God, with the strength of God, with the mercy of God, my friend. And that's what David is speaking here. God blessed his people who are in fear of him. In other words, who are walking in the path that God wants us to live. So he would advise us or encourage us to have that kind of wisdom in our living. Because the world today looks at life differently. The more, the merrier. Right? In America, they have American dreams. In Singapore also, we have the Singaporean dream also. We call the 5 C's in Singapore. The cash, the credit card, the cars, the condominium and all that. That's how in the Singapore dream is. If you have all that, then you are much more satisfied. But God sees it differently. David sees it differently. If God blesses you with riches, that's wonderful. But it's much more wonderful if you have the goodness of God, the blessings of God in our life, which is given to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, what is wisdom living? He says, wisdom living comes from godly living, living in the fear of God. And secondly, he says, blessings flow from the godly. In other words, it is not just containing the godly alone. You see, when you look at the person, you begin to see, this person is a good person. The person is a wonderful person. I think each and every one of us will look at, and say, this person and so and so. And that's what, David is trying to say here. Blessings flow from that particular person. Look at the verse very carefully from Psalm 112, verses 4 onwards. He talks about even in darkness, light dawns from the upright. In other words, he's saying that even in the times of difficulties, even in times of trouble, in things are bad that's happening, in midst of difficulties, what is happening? This God-fearing man or God-fearing woman is able to walk the path that God wants them to walk. And so you will see that they are able to overcome the many temptations in life, that they are able to be sincere in their walk. You see that they are smiling. In the Sunday school, they teach this song, with Christ in the vessel, you can smile at the storm. Smile at the storm, right? And so you see that even in difficult times, there is confidence in them. There is faith in them. There is assurance in them. There is hope in them. They are not downcast. They know that God is sovereign. God is in control. Even in darkness, light dawns for the upright. And they're gracious and compassionate. I think the verse also speaks to us, right? It says, they're very compassionate because God is compassionate. They're gracious because God is gracious. In other words, they conform to the character of the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, wonderful character that you will begin to see. Good will come to those who are gracious, generous, and lend freely, who conduct their affairs with justice. In other words, you know, they are there just, they are just gracious people, wonderful. They're loving, right? They are able to be like more like an agent, social agents, my friend. You see the joy in their life. At the same time, in verse 5, I like the way he uses the word. He says, they conduct their affairs with justice. In other words, you know, they do it in a way which is right in the sight of God. I'm not talking about nice people. There are too many nice people in this world. But I'm talking about right people doing the right things that God wants them to do. Because today we live in a world that, you know, we want to be nice. Mr. Nice, Mrs. Nice, right? We want to be nice. I think the Bible doesn't speak about nice people. That Bible speaks about godly people who do what is right in the sight of God, who lives a life because I want to be right in God's sight. I want to win the favor of God rather than the favor of men. And that's why he concludes by saying, who conducts their affairs in all their dealings prudently, wisely, ensuring that God is honored. And so the best slave way to live, it's God's way to live. And so that's the way. And so what's happening, you begin to see they're generous, there's integrity in them, in the decisions they make, the way they look at things. Right? There's no favoritism in them because God is not a God who shows favoritism. God is a God of just. So you read 1:11, you will see similarities in 1:12. And so you begin to see, right? I think all of us, when we look at one another, we know whether they are nice, whether they do things right or wrong. If we can judge, we can look at people and, you know, evaluate, what about God? God knows us much more deeper. And so David would say, this is the way, you know, this is how they live in this world because they have received God's blessing. They want to continue to receive God's blessings because God's blessings always will last, and so they continue to live life for God. And then you also realize, you know, godly living is wonderful, he says, because when a person lives a godly life, what is happening? They also have confidence in God, right? They have confidence in their heart. That's what he says. They are not afraid. Continue to read, you will see. They will have no fear of bad news. Their hearts are steadfast, trusting in the Lord. Their hearts are secure. They will have no fear. In the end, they will look in triumph on their foes, right? You know, you continue to see the confidence and the security they have. They have hope. They have hope of not only today, but also their tomorrow. Their horn will be lifted high in honor. In other words, you know, it speaks, it's a figurative language here. It is to talk about the strength of them. They have the courage because they know, they have that confidence in God. No matter what, God is with me. No matter what happens, I'm not afraid of bad news because I have that confidence in God. I know my Savior liveth. My God is sovereign. And that's the kind of confidence they have. When I look at this particular passage, I was just reminded of Acts chapter 7. Realize the testimony of Stephen. What happened? I think Stephen was bold, was first martyr of the church. He was so bold, he could have compromised easily to have a longer life to live in this world. But he stood the ground. He kept his faith. He was bold. And he spoke the truth because he had confidence there is a life after this life, my friend. I think that's wonderful wisdom living. I've seen in my pastoral ministry, you know, some people at the deathbed telling me, I'm afraid to die. I ask them why. They say, I do not know where I'm going. Recently, I was talking to a pastor. And in my conversation with him, I had coffee with him some time ago. And recently, I was having a conversation with him. He was telling me, you know, I have a lot of issues in my body. He says, he didn't tell me, you know, pray that I'll be healed. He said, he told me something, you know, that was very assuring to me. Young man. Probably he's in his 40s or late 40s. He said, I know I'm going to God when I die. And that's the confidence I have. I'm not afraid of death, he told me smilingly. I'm not afraid of death. You know, can you imagine at that particular age, having that kind of confidence, not only the todays, my friend, but also the tomorrows. David says, that's wisdom living. That's living a godly life. And that's what, you know, he wants us to know. I always like the scriptures very well because the scripture doesn't stop there. It also warns. It also gives us a word of caution. If we listen, we see God's blessing. If we don't, it warns us. It cautions us. It tells us about God's judgment. You know, it says blessings flows against the wicked. We just read about the wicked. The longing of the wicked will come to nothing. So God, I think God's word is so powerful that he warns us, right? I think it is not only in the Old Testament, but also in the New Testament, where Jesus talks about judgment, the punishment that, you know, we receive for not living good life. I remember my former bishop speaking to us, saying that, you know, we have discussions about Bible discussions. What happens if, you know, we live a life, Christian life, and there is no eternal life? What happens? Can you imagine living a, you know, fasting, praying, reading the Bible, coming to church, giving our tithes, and then there is no eternal life? What happens? Maybe we will say, no, oh, it was useless. So he gave us some words of wisdom. He says, he told us, just imagine if there was eternal life, then you are fortunate that you will have eternal life. Even there is no eternal life, he said, at least you lived a good life in this world. You lived a good life in this world. If there was eternal life, you're fortunate to enter into God's kingdom. And so he would always encourage us and, you know, speak to us, encouraging us to live a life. Because as pastors, sometimes, you know, we have questions, we have doubts, you know, we wanted to clarify on certain issues. And so David warns us. He warns. And even the Lord Jesus Christ has actually warned us, you know, how we should be living a life for Christ. So let me encourage you, my friend. I think we live in a time and age. I think many of us have different kinds of issues in our life, many kinds of temptation. The young people have different kinds or pressures in their life, and so to be faithful. I do not know whether I've shared this story with you. It's about, I hope I'm pronouncing the name of this writer. His name is Mendelssohn. I hope I'm pronouncing his name correctly. His name is German composer Felix Mendelssohn, right? He was a great composer, great man on the organ or piano. He was a great guy, well known, even well known today, right? He started, you know, playing in a public performance at the age of 9. Became so famous that almost everyone knew him. There's one time in his life that he heard about in this town, there was a great organ. And so being a composer, being a person who loves playing in the organ, he wanted to get a feel of this particular organ in this church. And so he went to the church. So when he went to the church, there was an elderly man who was the organist of the church. This elderly man did not recognize Mendelssohn. So Mendelssohn almost begged him and said, you know, can you give me an opportunity to play in this great organ? The old man was very hesitant. He said, no. And he tried his best, tried to convince, and finally he said, okay, fine, I'll allow you to play a couple of minutes. You know, within a minute, the man just marveled the way he was playing, because he did not know Mendelssohn was playing. He put his hand on the shoulder of this man and asked, who are you? What's your name? He said, I'm Mendelssohn. Immediately he stood in fear. He said, I nearly refused to allow Mendelssohn touch this organ. I nearly refused. This great man, this great composer the world admires, I almost missed giving him this opportunity to play or touch this organ. When I was reading this story, I was just reminded, you know, if you can allow God to work in your life, He can do a much more greater impact. How sad will be the day if you say, I should have given my life to Christ. I should have. My life would have been worth living. My decisions would be wonderful. I would have lived a contented and a satisfied life. Let's not miss that opportunity. Let Christ be our fear. Let's walk in the way that God wants us to walk, my friend. Let's delight in doing what God wants us to do. There is no regret. Let's pray. Scripture says that David was known as a man after God's own heart. Can you imagine what a wonderful title that was given to him? A man after God's own heart. This great man of God has given this word to us. And he has shared his testimony to us, and he's saying, life is worth living. And this is the way that you should live in this world. Because the world teaches us different ways of living, different ways of looking at life, different ways of navigating our life. But David says, fear God, love God, let God be your priority. Give Him that opportunity in your life. Let Him impact you. Let Him encounter you. Let His word becomes your food. Let your ways become your ways. You will see God's blessing in your life. It's much more greater to be blessed by God, to be favored by God, rather than the many riches that we might have in this world. Father, we thank you, Lord. We do not want to miss that opportunity of allowing you to work in our lives. Father, touch us once again. Fill us once again. Work in our lives once again. Rekindle our spirit once again. Rekindle our passion towards you once again. In Jesus' name we pray.